This is ITPA Podcast. Welcome to the show. I'm Makoto Shiono, partner and managing director at ITPI. Today, we are going to talk about Japan's entertainment creation power with my colleague, Koki Sakata, CEO at ITPI Singapore. Welcome to our show, Koki.
Hi, everyone. My name is Koki Sakata, and I am the CEO of ITPI Singapore. Thank you for having me, Makoto. I'm very excited to be here again.
Last time, we discussed how Japanese manga has been influenced by Chinese and American culture, and how Japan's culture of improvements has turned it into a major industry. This time, I'd like to discuss the development of Japan's anime industry. While Japan's anime is famous worldwide, there is also an impression that it is not profitable as an industry. I've also heard that the severe labor environment, where workers are forced to work long hours for low wages without breaks, is a problem. First of all, why is Japan's anime industry not making profits?
I think the biggest issue lies in the closed vested interests within Japan. There's a system called Seisaku Inkai, Production Committee, in Japan, which is composed of multiple affiliated companies and holds the rights. When decision-making is made by these production committees composed of Japanese affiliated companies, it results in an industry that is closed to Japan. As a result, despite the widespread popularity of Japanese anime overseas, the business model has not been adapted for international markets. Additionally, the issue of decision makers being dispersed leads to problems where creators can only freely express their opinions. Furthermore, the decision-making culture centered around sponsors results in subcontracting production companies and new creators earning thin profits, which also leads to deteriorating labor conditions.
I see. That's a serious problem. Why does a system like the production committee exist?
I think this probably originated from the post-war period when there was a shortage of funds and related companies pooled their money to create content. The precursor to the production committee is said to be Tezuka Productions, the production company of Osamu Tezuka, who we also talked about last time. It may have been an innovation created by predecessors at that time to produce anime by pulling small amounts of money and opinions from stakeholders and smoothly implementing tie-ups with investment companies. In other words, it could be said that it was the driving force behind creating many creators during the post-war period when resources were scarce.
Okay, I understand that there are merits to the production committee. However, in modern times, when funds are abundant, it may be worth considering alternative methods, don't you think so?
Yes, I think you're right. This also applies to the discussion we had before about Japan's startup ecosystem. If we create a closed ecosystem in Japan, we will end up saying, let's all climb Mount Fuji together. Of course, it is true that production committee system was a driving force behind the creation of entertainment content in Japan, but it also has negative effects on expanding content overseas. It may be necessary to consider new approaches to expand the anime industry globally.
What kind of content production is common overseas?
I think one example is in countries like South Korea, where decision making is expedited by centralizing authority. While it has been criticized as mercantilism due to the efforts of the country to increase its entertainment creation capabilities, considering the global influence of South Korean entertainment today, there are many points to learn from.
Yeah. South Korea is truly impressive. How about China and the other countries?
Chinese anime, for example, is gaining significant momentum. Some of my friends in Singapore only watch Chinese anime and has moved away from Japanese anime. It is said that successful anime have either notable characters or storylines, but what sets Chinese anime apart is the introduction of a new aspect, which is computer graphics. So with CG, it doesn't require a large amount of funds, and in the future, it may be possible for ChatGPT to mass-produce anime as well. Don't you think so?
Yeah, ChatGPT, so-called generative AIs, indeed has impact on various industries. How we perceive the influence of ChatGPT and other generative AIs will also greatly affect the future of entertainment creation capabilities. I hope we can have a discussion about the future of entertainment creation in Japan next time. So, thank you very much for joining us today, Koki. Now, we'd like to stop here and it will be continued in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening to IGPI podcast. Find us on igpi.com.sg for more information. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.